Hello, my name is Aziz, and I'm the son of a divorced mother. She's really my superhero. That's why it's important for me to support women to share their uniqueness, their personalities, perspectives, and emotions about life. Too many women in this world feel alone. They worry about the judgment of others and they struggle with their mental health. But when they listen to the Rare Girls podcast, where empowered women share their voices and tell their stories, many women will feel inspired to live a life of freedom and to overcome all insecurities. They will feel it is a safe space to find their confidence, to remember their unique beauty, and to feel their self-worth. And they will connect with the sisterhood of rare girls who encourage their success and support their dreams. That's what this podcast is all about. My guest today is Riakel. Riakel is a singer, songwriter, and producer living in Miami, USA. Originally from Brazil, she has always studied music and majored in audio engineering. She received an entertainment business bachelor's degree from Full Sail University. Riakel founded RTC Music in 2023, the boutique record label focused on empowering and uplifting artists. She is paving the way for a new generation of female artists to succeed and inspire women to follow their dreams and break through barriers. Riakel, how are you today?
Hi, Aziz. Thank you very much for having me here. It's such an honor. I appreciate you inviting me to this powerful podcast, bringing women together to inspire each other.
I'm happy, honored, and lucky to have you here. I'm very curious to know much more about you. So I'll begin with this nice first question, which is a bit difficult, but it's also very enlightening related to you. So Riakel, if your friends could describe your personality, what would they say about you? And would there be a difference in Brazil compared to Miami? Are you a different person or not?
Wow. That I can definitely say that I am not a different person. I am the same person everywhere I go. And even at times when I have to be more discreet in my personality, because I'm very bubbly, I'm very enthusiastic all the time for the most part, sometimes I have to be a little less, you know, be more discreet. And I am very happy everywhere I go. So I had to ask my friends to see exactly what they thought of me. And I was surprised with their answers. My friends, they think that I am very kind-hearted and that I am very sensitive towards others, self-driven, mostly positive, and feisty sometimes. And my friend Ben, he says that I'm a little crazy.
Which are apt descriptions for an artist, because you have to be a bit crazy and you have to be sensitive in order to be creative, for real, for real. So let's speak a bit about your music career. It's challenging. It's very, very difficult. And like part of it, a huge part is that it's male dominated as well, but also you being an ethnic minority who's trying to make it in a part of the world where things are more standardized for a different type of person. Can you share a bit more about that journey? How difficult was it? What kept you motivated? And what did you do throughout your story in order for you to decide till the end to be someone who helps other people as well, not just struggling alone?
Yes, definitely. I actually got goosebumps with that question, because it's very, it's you know, what you said is very truthful. It has been a long journey for me. I discovered that I liked singing when I was 13. And when I discovered, I was just, you know, singing like just anyone. And my friend said, "Hey, girl, you could sing. Like, what was that?" And I was like, "Really?" And that motivated me. I'm like, okay, so hear this again. And then I started practicing, and at 15, I started singing at the Orlando Youth Opera, and that's how I started developing my vocals. And since then, everything started happening for me. I started singing in a lot of different venues and lounges, festivals. And I found out that's really what motivated me. I found out my purpose because I was a little bit of a troublemaker growing up. I was very, you know, like bored here because it was a big change for me coming from Brazil to the US, and I had all my cousins there. And it was really hard for me to adapt to the school system. And I couldn't find myself. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know how to fit in. And I found myself in music. So since then, I started pursuing music, and really, I started having more like the real world experience. When I went to New York City, I was 19. You know, once I finished audio engineering at Full Sail, I said, you know what? I want to go to New York now to record. That was my dream. I had never been to New York, not even to visit. And I went to live, you know. And as soon as I got there, I didn't know anyone. I started looking for vocal coaches and recording studios. I actually went to Quad Recording Studios. That's where Tupac got shot, actually. Not sure if you know who Tupac is. You know, big time hip hop rapper, but that recording studio was really cool. I met Madonna there and Little Bow Wow, but I started as an intern, you know, and I started from the very bottom. I had to clean bathrooms and the whole like four floors that they had, and pick up coffee and clean the whole studio. And really, only lasted 2 weeks as an intern. I said, you know, what am I doing here? Like, I don't even want to be an engineer. I went to school to learn about engineering so I know how to communicate with engineers and producers. So, you know, that could facilitate the whole recording process for me. Or if I have to do it myself, I could just jump on it and do it. But I don't want to be an engineer. Like, I'm not going to be here cleaning bathrooms. Like, I'm out of here, you know? But I left with a good attitude. And, you know, like, I left all doors open. And after a week, the receptionist called and said, "Hey, Raquel, you wanna come by and you want to get on my position, you know?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." She said she was leaving. I'm like, "Of course, heck yeah, you know, I'm on it." So the next day, I was there talking to Ricky. He's the owner, and I told him that I was there, you know, to start my new position. And he said, "Wait, you know, but Karina, like she's leaving?" I was like, "Yeah, she invited me to come to come work for you guys." And he said, "All right, sure." He was like super cool. And that's how I started my journey, because that's where I met a lot of the people that I work until today. Like, I work with Ben Arendelle. He was an engineer there, an in-house engineer. And I when I had that role, I started as a receptionist. I had to call all the engineers for the sessions. Like, I had to see, like, it was up to me to decide what engineers I wanted to call for the sessions. So I became really good friends with Ben Arendelle, and he gave me the opportunity to start recording at his recording studios, because Quad was always super busy. And although I worked there, I never the studio was never available for us. They always had blackout sessions. They had Jones there, and you know, it was always packed. So anyways, but that's, you know, how I started singing with Ben. My first session, when I started recording and I heard myself back, I started crying and I said, "I can't do this. Oh my God, like, I sound horrible. Like, what am I gonna do? This is all I know how to do. Like, all I know how to do is sing. Like, what am I gonna do if you know, if I don't sound good?" And I had a breakdown. And Ben said, "No, you know, just go home." I said, "I'm not going home." So I'm not going anywhere. And I stayed in the recording studio until like probably 6 a.m. and went to sleep, you know. And then the next day I woke up like, "Okay, let's get it. Let's do this again." And I continued and I never stopped, you know. And along the way, I met so many people that promised me so many things. They sold me the dream. And I was in New York by myself, you know. My family, they lived in Florida. And I was very vulnerable and naive. And I believed in everyone's promises. And but when it was time for me to do something that did not that did not meet with my principles and my values, I would turn it down. I said, nope. Like, I'm not doing nothing. What am I doing for you? I'm nothing. I'm going to sing. I'm here. You know, I could do an audition. I'm going to sing. And, you know, and I had a lot of moments that I just had to, like, just get away and leave the room and just walk away. And I did that for many years. But, you know, one thing that was solid was always the work relationship with my friend, Ben. Ben, he always respected me. He's a friend that never tried to cross the line, and I recorded many songs there. I started songwriting at his studios. I didn't know how to write one single line, and I used to cry too because of that. I'm like, I can't write one line. I don't know what to do. So we got songwriters to write me songs, and you know, I didn't like the story. I'm like, I'm not feeling it, you know? And my friend was like, Raquel, you know, just try to tell a story. I'm like, all right, you know? And I started just writing everything that I was going through, and I started getting better and melody wise and lyrical and just having everything to rhyme. And, you know, I kept pushing, and I met my vocal coach in New York, Craig Derry. He's Alicia Keys, actually, vocal coach, Katy Perry, vocal coach. And that, of course, I was inspired me, and we had group vocal classes. So the whole entire group, like we would inspire each other because it was so many talented people in the room. So after everyone sang, everyone did, you know, after once everyone finished our vocal exercises, we would perform in front of, you know, our peers, and we would like evaluate them, you know. But that inspired us. And after class, we would hang out in the stairs, just like you see in the movies. Hang on the stairs and sing and harmonize. It was awesome. And that moved me a lot, you know, to keep going. And I performed a couple of places in New York City, Webster Hall, and some festivals. And I was always trying new things, you know, and I was always looking to meet people and network and go to radio stations and just meet as many people as I could and just knock on many doors. And you know, I looked for producers, recording studios, but I did everything on my own because every time I tried to work with, let's say, someone that was interested to be my manager, I felt like I couldn't trust them enough. I felt like there was other interests. So I said, you know, I'll do it myself. And I learned some business in at Full Sail with my first degree in audio engineering. So I already knew how to do my copyrights. I already knew how to defend myself, you know, and do my split sheets so no one would take advantage of me in the music level. And it was just a matter of, you know, of learning how to build like relationships. And that's something no one teaches you. School doesn't teach you how to build relationships. That's something that you just learn along the way. I had a breakdown in New York. It came down that I had a breakdown because I went through a couple of experiences in the recording studios, you know, just being there by myself. And when you're by yourself and you're a woman, you have to be extremely, extremely careful, like not to really drink anything and just do whatever people are doing. You know, a lot of people like in that environment, they do drugs. And to be honest with you, you know, back then I used to smoke weed and once in a while, to be honest, you know, and when I was recording at the studio, I took a little hit and I was fine. But then something happened that they offered me something else like a candy. And I thought it was just candy. And oh, my God, I went on a trip. After that day, something happened to me in my brain, like chemically, that I had a breakdown, like a mental breakdown, like anxiety. And I was sick. I went on a big, big, big dark hole for maybe 3-4 months. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I went through depression, and I'm a very happy person. I had never been through that, and I couldn't understand when people would go through that. You know, I thought they were weak. I'm like, you know, that's so weak. How can you like allow yourself to be that way? And that happened to me. It happened. It was, I don't wish that on anyone, you know, and My mom helped me to get myself out of there. We went to Brazil for me to treat myself. The only treatment I accepted was to take sleeping pills because I didn't want to take medication. I didn't want to take anything. And that's when I started getting back to myself, you know, my normal self. And I picked up where I left off. I wrote the very first song that I wrote after that phase was Armor Amour, which at the time I called it Crystal Moon. That song talks about self-love, talks about that now, you know, I am lacing up my heart to win, and I'm taking off to win because I'm, you know, stitching myself up together, and now I have wings to fly. I'm ready to go up like a rocket, and no one is stopping me. So I started, you know, with that drive again. I moved out of New York, and that's when I came back to Florida to stay close to the family. And again, I started recording and meeting people again and going out again, and other experience happened to me again. So I, you know what? I hit rock bottom again. I did. I hit rock bottom and I said, I need to do something in my life. I got to change. I can't continue like this. Like if I continue the way I was, I would have either ended up probably, I don't know, dead, like suicidal, or someone could have kidnapped me here in Miami. That's why I talk about, like, I don't go to boat parties, yacht parties. When people invite me, I don't go if I don't know the host. Only if I really know them, then cool. But if not, I don't. But, you know, everything changed for me, to be honest with you, when I had an experience that I started praying to God. And I had never prayed before in my life. Like, I prayed before going to sleep, but I started praying for a guy that I had met that I was in a relationship. And when I prayed for him, my life started changing, and I saw that change. And I said, whoa, you know, like, my life is really changing. It was something like a miracle that things were going better for me. And I started walking away from all of these environments that I used to go to in the music industry. And I started, you know, just doing everything on my own. I said, you know, I'm going to start here producing my music. I sent it to Bent in New York. He's still working with me. He mixes my songs. And, you know, and just do all my pre-production at home. And then just really choose wisely who I want to work with. And if I ever come across someone in the recording studio, like a producer, someone that disrespects me, that, you know, they offer me like, oh, let me kiss you and this and that. I, you know, because I go there to record, to work, you know, and I usually go all covered up. I don't go like, you know, with a little skirt or something, you know, being like all, you know, seductive. Like, I really try to keep myself as hidden, let's say, as possible in a recording studio so I don't get hit on. But when I do, you know, which it had happened so many times that, you know, if I say no, like, people were like, all right, you know, watch, you're not going to go anywhere. I'm going to make sure you don't go anywhere. Like, I'm going to make sure I tell everyone not to work with you. It's like, wow, you know, but like, that's not going to happen because I have a God, you know, and you're not God to tell me that I'm not going anywhere. So yeah, I started just choosing better, like, who I hang out with and the friends. And now I have, you know, like, a whole different circle of friends. Even in the music industry, I have people that really, you know, respect me, and it's a mutual relationship. I have many friends that are producers, videographers, you know, stylists, and so on. And right now I'm in a good place, thank God, you know, mentally, emotionally, in every way. And it's just a matter of continued persistency. And I persisted so long, and I continue persisting because, you know, time passed by, so many years passed by. But I continue persisting because I realized that it doesn't matter what happens, the outcome, if my songs become successful or not, because, you know, I release music every year. I try to release 4 songs every year. I actually got a deal with The Orchard, which is Sony's music distribution label for independent artists. And I noticed that, I am having progress, like, over the years, like, step by step, but it's a slow process, and I would like to be faster, but because I do everything on my own, it's you know, it's a slower pace. But I've learned to really enjoy the journey. You know, if I'm not feeling like, you know, writing a song today, I won't write a song today. If I want to hang out with the family, you know, I just learned to have balance in life and just be able to, you know, not go back to that place of sadness and sorrow. And if I'm a little sad, I pick up my guitar, you know, write a song, but then the next day I'm better. You know, the next day I'm ready for the world again, to smile at life and keep going, you know? And that, you know, and the music is something that lives in me. It's really what motivates me. You know, I feel there's nothing in this world that will ever separate me from that, because even like I was saying, even if the outcome is it's not a successful music career, like known, famous or whatever, I don't care anymore, because my message changed. I just really want to have a positive message in my songs that, you know, I just share, you know, like always like a positive message, like the song, for example, like Detox. Detox talks about detoxing everything from your heart, like all of the everything that makes you sad, everything that makes you feel that, you know, those dark feelings and everything that doesn't make you feel light, you know, to let it go, to detox from your body. So that song is called Detox. You know, I talk about a guy like I got to detox you. But every song is a different message. So it just makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I have a purpose in life. So I will always do it forever, no matter what. You know, I will always be working on my craft. It's what I love.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I have so many questions. Actually, I want to begin from the beginning. The fact that you went to New York City, you didn't know anyone, you just jumped in. There are a lot of women in this world who are dying with their creative artists inside them that is not explored because they worry. And even though you are worrying, you are thinking, oh, I have to be extra careful about who I speak to, what do I drink, what do I take, which means you are careful. But what allowed you to be brave enough to suddenly go to New York and take that big leap when many women would be staying in their comfort zone because they would overthink and worry and they would not feel comfortable with that risk, because if they fail, they will think, oh, what if I fail? What if something happens and I'm far from my family, etc.?
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I always had a thing for New York since I was 14. Because like all the cool kids in school, they were from New York. Like they know how to dress. They had the cute little pink Tims and the gray Tims. And I don't know, they talked differently and they were more expressive, you know, more talkative. And I don't know, it always called my attention. So I guess also because I'm from the city in Brazil, you know, São Paulo is it's very busy, you know, and I had a lot of friends growing up, you know, as a kid in Brazil. And when I moved here as a little girl, I didn't have that many friends. So because I didn't know the language, I didn't know Spanish or English. But going back to New York, though, like, you know, I remember growing up in school and thinking to myself, you know, like, I'm bored here. I'm bored because I grew up in Orlando, and Orlando is very quiet and there's not many things to do. And like I was saying, I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of friends, you know, because of the whole change. I didn't know how to communicate in English, Spanish at the time. We didn't have a lot of Brazilians in school. I only had one Brazilian friend in school. So when I graduated, I said, I want to go to New York. I mean, as soon as I graduated from high school, I worked for 6 months. And then I said, you know, I don't want to do this forever. I don't want to do something that I don't like. So if I go to school, what am I going to go to school for? Like, I only like singing. So I started thinking about what I could do. Oh, I remember. Okay. I remember. The first producer that I met was at a gas station. I was at a gas station and this guy out of nowhere started talking to me. And he said, hey, you know, and he was from New York. He said, hey, you know, like, do you sing? I guess he heard me singing. I don't know. And I said, yeah, I'm a singer. He said, oh, let's work on some tracks. You know, I have some beats for you to hear. I'm like, okay. So I started working with him. It's such a long story that this guy, like, he had me take out his gear from the pawn shop. And when I took out his gear, because he told me he, you know, his gear was there for, you know, that he could record me. When my mom got the stuff at the pawn shop, he didn't record me. He didn't record me. It was kind of like, you know, he just used that excuse to take off and see whatever he could get. So from that experience right there, that I already had finished high school and I was working at a regular job, I said, you know what? Like, I'm going to go to school to know my business. Like, I'm not going to let anyone take advantage of me. That's, I was 18. That's when I decided that. So I went to Full Sail to learn business. But then at the time, they didn't have business to start off. You had to do the audio engineering or design and a couple of other courses that they had, other majors. But I didn't relate to any of them. But when they showed us what the audio engineering is, which I had no idea also what, I'm like, what the heck is audio engineering? And they took us on a tour. Oh my God, I fell in love. The tour was like all like recording studios and the gold and silver plates, you know, and it was in the consoles. Everything was so beautiful. I'm like, what is this? Like, I want to learn this. So when I learned a little bit of music production, and it was really hard for me because I had never learned any. I mean, I had never heard about any of that. And the business, that's when I said, I'm ready for New York because I'm ready for the next level. You know, I just knew that in New York, it was just, I don't know what it was. I just knew that over there, I could have more possibilities because I knew all the record labels were there. I used to be like after record labels all the time. You know, I knew like Universal Music was there, Warner and radio stations and, you know, and I don't know, like all the shows and things. And I wanted to be where the action was. And I didn't know anyone. I really didn't. But I had no fear. I had no fear. And my sister, she knew some girls in Jersey. She said, well, you know, I know some girls in Jersey City that you could live there until you get yourself situated. And I said, all right. And that's what I did. I went to Jersey, lived there for 3 months. But I kept going to New York City every night, taking the, it's like the little ferry, and there's like a little bus that takes you there. But then that the ferry or the train, I forgot what's it called right now, it stops at 12. I don't know if it's still like that till this day, but it stops at 12. And then after 12 at night, I was stuck in the city. I couldn't go back. I couldn't go back to New Jersey, you know? So sometimes I stayed the night just there hanging out, you know, at a club or something until it was morning, until it was time for me to, you know, to take the train back to New Jersey, until I was able to move to New York City after 3 months. But it was just, the dream was always bigger than any fear. You know, I have always been such a go-getter. You know, I was just so excited to be there. I felt like I was inside a movie. I felt like I was in Spider-Man movie, to be honest with you. I said, what? Like Times Square for the first time, you know, that feeling. And the girls, they took me to eat cheesecake. Everything was new. It was exciting. I wasn't scared. Sometimes, you know, when I went through a situation where I would meet someone that they told me that they had connections, whatever, but then they would take me somewhere and, you know, or talk too much, then I started thinking, like, why not? Like, why can't I hear, speak for myself? Why can't I share my information? So, you know, it's just, I learned a lot about life there. I learned a lot because I was thrown in the real world. You know, I found out the reality. That's when I started having it, my first experience out the house and just living life. And especially in the music industry, you know, I went after the producers that did Danza Kuduro. There's a song here by Don Omar. And when I recorded a song with them, and, you know, I just went after everyone, DJs and everything, to do a remix for me. But I was definitely more aggressive back then than today. Today, I don't really look for people so much anymore. I do a lot on my own. And I just, like I was saying, I just choose wisely who I really, really want to work with.
Thank you. And so your label, RTC, how does it help empower and protect maybe new artists and women from going through some of the dangers that you almost like were involved with, but protected yourself? What are some things that dealing with you, being involved with you, will help them not need to deal with if they go try to do it on their own?
Yeah, you know, artists and music, it just happened because I picked up so many skills along the way. I had to learn how to do it myself so I could release music. And I had to learn how to songwrite so I wouldn't sing a song that I didn't like. I had to do my own artwork for my CDs, you know, to release it. I had to put it out in CD Baby and other, you know, distribution labels. You know, I had to like go and do my research and do it on my own. And it was just, you know, so many factors of putting a project together that I had to learn on my own, also because of budget. I not only because of encountering those situations that I couldn't trust many people, but also because I didn't have money. I was always broke, you know, like literally a broke artist. When I worked at Quad, you know, I didn't have enough. You know, I worked only on the weekends, and I actually worked 32 hours straight, and I would like knock out on the couch and that little bit, you know, for 30 minutes, wake up again. And then throughout the week, the entire week, I just wanted to go after the music and do auditions, you know. I did Broadway auditions, like whatever auditions that I would hear that I was out there. Like I did an audition for Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, for some girl group that he was doing back then. Oh, God, I hope they don't have that recording anywhere. I don't know, but... Anyway, so, you know, I was always busy, like, during the week doing my vocal classes and dance classes and just getting myself ready, you know. But now that, you know, so many years passed by, I realized that all the skills that I learned along the way that I was pretty much just forced to learn so I can just keep going, so I have material, so I have content. I learned, and also copyrighting my music, everything, you know. I noticed that I can offer that to other people, and especially women, you know, so they don't have to go through men. You know, sorry, guys, you know, not all guys are bad, you know, not at all. But there are a lot of bad guys out there, you know, and we just really have to empower each other. We have to protect each other, because I would love to have that. I would love to have someone, you know, a company that I can run to. I actually met the president of a major record label. I don't want to say, you know, the name. And she's a woman. And when I met her, it was like a refuge for me. I was so excited that she's a woman and she's the president of this huge label that I admire. And when I told her my story, she didn't even care. She didn't even hear me. She didn't even listen. She didn't even reply to my message, because she gave me her phone number. And my message, I was like, oh, my God, you know, it was such an honor meeting you. Here's my music. She asked me to send her my music. When I sent her my music, I told her a little bit that, you know, it feels so good to meet her because she's a woman and she could relate to my story, perhaps. And she didn't even reply back. And I was so disappointed because she's a woman. I'm like, geez, you know, like I would really expect that. You know, you like to have like more, what's the word? Just be more receptive and more, you know, embracing more, you know, some like another woman, you know. It's kind of like a shelter, you know. So here at Artists in Music, I want to have that. I want to have everything that I didn't have, everything that I don't have for myself as a team. I want to offer that to women and even, you know, men too. But, and I want to work with people that are talented, that have quality work, and that they do not have to feel like they have to degrade their image to be successful, to sell their music, you know, because people say, oh, sex sells. No, here you're not going to have to be a sex appeal to sell. What's going to sell is your message, is your talent. That's what Artists in Music is about.
I agree with that 100%. And I salute you for being the refuge and safe haven to a lot of artists and empowering them and helping them. You spoke also a lot about how you were someone who met a lot of people who sold you the dream, but you also met Ben, who is a good person and never crossed the line. So let's say you're speaking to young female artists about some of the red flags to recognize whether someone is selling them the dream and they're wasting time with that. Or not, how could they differentiate? From your experience now, you said you're selective, you choose people who are different to the old group of people you used to meet before. What's the difference? How can someone recognize the good people within the music industry from some red flags in order to pay attention?
That is such a good question. Very, very smart question. Let's see how I can separate the two, right? So we can discern. See, Ben, he has always been an example. Because Ben never promised to me anything. Never promised me anything. Matter of fact, till this day, when I tell him, oh my God, I had such a great session. I recorded so fast. And he was like, don't ever tell anyone that. No, 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 that's not like that. You know, it takes time. You have to go and record as many takes. And, you know, he doesn't sell you dreams. You know, someone that tells you, let's work and let's invest time. And I want you to go and write a song. And when you go back to them, you show them the song. They were like, ah, you could do better. And that's something, by the way, I would get so frustrated. I'm like, come on, this song is already great. No, you could do better. Like, what are you talking about? You just don't get it. You don't see the vision here. You know, you don't see the outcome. I already see everything in my head. But it's just someone that don't tell you everything that you want to hear, you know? And it's someone that really sees your imperfections, your flaws, and they'll tell you so you could work on them. And that's, I really believe that's someone that, you know, is real, because my other friends also, you know, that are producers and mix engineers, also they're married and they have, you know, a significant other, and they don't text you, you know, like really late at night after, you know, 2 a.m, or they don't say, hey, you want to come here, come over, hang out here at the studio. When you hear the word hang out at the studio, so we can, you know, all the stuff like hanging out. There's no hanging out. There's no hanging out, you know, like I'm there to work. And even if you go to the studio, okay, let's work, and you get there and it's more talking than recording, you know, and then when you finish recording, they don't give you your session. That's a huge red flag. Like, you should always have your session on you, your file, because if they don't want to send you that, then why not? What's the problem? You know, that if they start getting too close to you, hugging you, you know, too friendly, you know, oh, give me a kiss. No, no, I don't give kisses here. You know, it's just, there's another, or let's hang out after here. Let's go for a drink. That's another thing, you know, which is really important for me. Like, I learned not to drink. Why? Because I was a cocktail waitress in New York. And as a cocktail waitress, I took a lot of advantage of people, because I wanted to make them really drunk so they could spend more money and give me a higher tip. And because of that experience, I learned not to let anything control me, because when you're intoxicated, other people will control you. And you're not completely aware of what's really going on. So, you know, of course, I repent of that, you know, of like intoxicating people so much, or being an influence of having, you know, people drink so much, because I was a good salesperson. I would sell the bottles and party with everyone and just motivate them. And I don't want to be that kind of motivator, you know, to motivate people to be like a self-destruction. I want to motivate people to have a good time, but to always, you know, be healthy and be the best that they could be, you know? And I don't ever want to take advantage of people. So I think that's the difference, you know? If you're hanging out, if you're at the studio and people start offering you weed and drugs and your gummies or whatever and alcohol, no, you know, you say no. You know, you party at another time if that's what you like. But when you're there to work, to do a song, you gotta, you know, do it like consciously, fully, you know, you have to fully be there. And also performing, you know, I think when you're also performing, it's important for you to take someone that really cares for you, that can look out for you while you're performing, to always be like a second eye, you know? So you have to work with people that you trust. And people that you trust, I don't think, for me, it did not come easily to have like a dream team. You know, I work with a couple of producers now that I've known for a long time. Also my friend Michael Zeben from France. He's always sending me songs, and you know, we select what songs, you know, would work or whatnot. But he's another person that he never crossed the line to, you know, never crossed the line. Someone that, you know, wants to mix things up is a person that, I'm telling you, that he comes too close. You know, the approach is always too close to get to you, you know, or texts you too much, invites you to other things, you know, like to yacht parties. And here in Miami is yacht parties, you know, New York is mostly clubs. And if the conversation is not revolving really much about like some work that, you know, that's in progress, then forget it. You're going to waste your time. If they tell you, if they promise you everything, like, okay, I'm going to put your songs in playlists. I'm going to give you more Spotify plays and views, like, walk away, because it's not true. They're just promising you that to impress you. So then you could do whatever they want, or for you to fall for them, and then they'll leave, you know?
Thank you for sharing that. That's very, very wise. And to finish, I recognize that one of your messages in your songs is self-love. You spoke about that earlier. And nowadays, there are a lot of women who struggle with self-love. They compare themselves to the idealized version of some women who are on Instagram, or now made with AI, etc. How was your journey of self-love, and what's your advice to women who are struggling with that so that they fall in love with themselves?
My gosh, yes, that's another journey. You know, I think that's a life journey to really discover who you really are, and to really accept who you are, and really truly love yourself, and work on yourself for you to be the best version of yourself. I started really having self-love after that breakdown that I had in New York. You know, I thought everything was over for me because of, you know, how I was taken advantage of, and I allowed myself to go that deep, you know. And once I left out of that place, I felt so much stronger. I felt stronger because I felt like I would never go back there again. So even when I'm sad, I don't allow myself to lay down in bed and stay there all day. Like, I'll go to the beach and I'll relax. The ocean relaxes me. But what really was my strength, and where I found myself, where I found my identity, I can't hide. You know, I have to say, it was really once I started having a relationship with God, because I hadn't had a relationship. I didn't, like I was telling you, I never prayed in my life. When I started praying for someone else, I, like, my life started changing, and I started seeing value in me. I started seeing, like, my essence and who I am, and, you know, my purpose, and that I am different. I started acknowledging my imperfections, and also giving myself, you know, the applaud also for myself of my achievements, because sometimes we achieve things that we think that it's not possible to achieve. And then after, once it's achieved, it's like, you don't make it, you like yourself, you don't make it a big deal, at least to me. I'm like, okay, yeah, I did that, you know, but you don't really see the value of that, you know, so much, because you want other people to approve it. You want other people to validate it. So once I started recognizing my, like, you know, small wins that I'm still in the process, you know, of becoming, you know, who I want to become in my dreams, you know, and I'm working towards it, you know, and having goals. And I started loving myself, because I started looking at myself back, and now I see how much I've been through, how much like, I'm already, you know, a winner, because I did not let anything corrupt me. I didn't let, you know, anything buy me, you could say, you know, because in this industry, you want money, you want fast money, so you can invest in your songs, because the more you invest in your music, you know, to promote it, and for you to do shows, or for you to do features with other people, then you grow faster, you know, then, you know, you could probably win the world, you know, like, so many things you can do with money. But I never allowed myself to be corrupted, really, because my principles are, they're so much more worth, you know, more worthy. I know that, you know, we are made with a purpose. We have so much value. And I started loving myself just like that, you know, like, you know, it's been a journey, you know, of finding that self-love, because I'm single right now. I don't you know, I don't have a man right now. I'm not in a relationship. And finding love also, it's been challenging. You know, it's been a journey. And you have to feel like confident that, you know, even if someone that you even like is not responding to you as you would like them to, you still have to think to yourself, it's okay. It's not me. It's not me. The person have to love me for who I am, you know, because you know that you are smart. You know what you're capable of doing. You know things that you've been through. You know your feelings. You know that you're kind. You know that you know, you have good intentions of loving and being loved. So at the end of the day, it's just, you know, you can't put yourself down or depend on other people's opinions for you to feel validated, for you to say, okay, you know, yes, I'm successful. Yes, I'm beautiful, flawless, whatever it is, you know, on social media that so many women are beautiful. You just really have to be beautiful every day, you know, take care of your feelings on the inside, your mental health, feel happy, because that reflects in the face, you know, that joy, you know, then when you have that face that you're feeling down and bitter and you don't treat people good. If you don't treat people good, you're going to feel like crap at the end of the day. You're going to feel like crap because all those feelings, everything is energy. So if you transmit happiness and love, and if you're always bright, you're going to feel beautiful. You're going to feel light. You're going to feel like in harmony with the world and with the flowers. You know what I mean? I'm very like, I very much compare ourselves with nature because we are nature, you know? So I'm always comparing like women to flowers because we're sensitive, we're beautiful, but that's just all of us, even men, you know, men is just not like all women. I believe that men need to feel like validated too, you know, and self-love, because a lot of men nowadays, maybe they don't feel like they're enough. Maybe that's why, I don't know. Maybe that's why a lot of men have a hard time committing, because they don't want to put their heart out there and have their heart broken. You know, I'm not sure what's going on nowadays, but a lot of us, a lot, men and women, we're feeling a little bit insecure, you know, because we feel like there's so many options, but yet there are so many options, but no one is really the right person for you. So what's going on, you know? So I think the first step definitely is just like knowing who you are, validating yourself, loving yourself, having a relationship with God, because that's where I think, to me, like you find your identity, your essence. You calm yourself down so you're not feeling anxious, and that's it. You know, you let things flow. You let things be like natural, you know, love. We're like loving creatures. We were made to love and to be loved. You know, we were born out of love. That's my message.
Thank you so much, Raquel. I wish you all the success in the world. I wish you to find true love. I wish you to actually surprise yourself with how much you can achieve, and that there will be an acceleration to the world hearing your message, your songs, and your music. And I know that your label is very important, it's necessary, and that it will impact the lives of many artists. And thank you again for participating in this podcast.
Thank you so much, Aziz. It has been such an honor to participate. I'm very excited. And I am encouraging everyone to come check it out. Rare Girls by Aziz. And I'm definitely looking forward to meeting you when I go to Dubai.
Thank you.